Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. We're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out. We want you to get ready to take lots of notes. We want you to go to another level in your life because it's all about entrepreneurs. Well, we have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, the tools for you to be successful at life, at work, at school, and in your business. And now your host, the power coach, Lalisa, and the possibilities coach, Cassandra.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning to our awesome guests. Good morning, Coach Cassandra.
Good morning, good morning. All about entrepreneurs. Wow, what an action-packed weekend. How are you doing today, Coach?
I am doing just wonderful, and I want to wish you and everyone a happy Memorial Day.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've got so much to be thankful for, and just in remembrance of those that have gone on before us, we just thank God for those that have served our country and been a blessing to us all. It's just amazing. It's just amazing the sacrifices that have gone on before for us to have the lives that we have today. I feel so blessed.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. So many people have sacrifice, and so we want to just pay it forward and do what we can do to be a blessing to others. So I'm excited. It's been a great weekend.
Yeah.
So wonderful holiday. Yeah. Many people are off today, so great. That's great. You know, we're off and we're on. We're off and we're on. Some people are going.
Well, I don't know about you, but I always feel like I'm on and ready to go because something is always hopping, something is always popping. And to those of you that are new to All About Entrepreneurs, we are an inspirational show. And whether you are still dreaming about what it is that you want to do with your life, trying to find your purpose, or you're a longtime business owner, we welcome you all. And we believe we have just what you're looking for today. We've got an exciting lineup with Stephen Speaks Relationships. And then later on, David Knight with the Christian Social Network. Wow, I tell you, we've got Miracle Mondays coming for us. I'm really looking forward to hearing both of them speak. And it's just going to be an exciting morning today. I hope everyone's ready.
Awesome. Well, don't forget, everyone, tomorrow is the big night. It's an awesome night. Tomorrow night, Tuesday, May the 27th, is going down on the Power Up Your Possibilities teleshow. You don't want to miss it. It's going down. We have the awesome and amazing speakers. We have two powerful, powerful dynamic speakers. First and foremost, we will have Miss Lethea Owens, awesome powerhouse, powerful, dynamic speaker. And we also have Mr. George Fraser. Mr. George Fraser. OMG. It is going to be powerful and amazing. So tomorrow night, set your clocks 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you're going to have to call in. The flyer has been circulating around social media, so many different social media pages. You can find the flyer and get the call-in number. But this time we've added an extra little piece to it where you'll be able to watch parts of it live. So we'll tell you more about that at the end of the show. But definitely tomorrow, the power up. It only happens once a month. Unlike All About Entrepreneurs, you can listen to it every day and come and hear great guests. But this is a little bit different. So it's only once a month. And this month is the third month, and it's going to be power packed. You want to get on the lines. You don't want to lose your space. Coach Cassandra, back to you. I know we have an awesome guest on today, and I'm excited that I'm looking forward to hearing from our guest, Stefan. So, take it away.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I'm hearing a little reverberation, and it's possible because someone has their phone on speakerphone. So, if you would please take your phones off speakerphone, that would help with the background noise. And it's helped already. Thank you so much. And, yes, today I have the honor of introducing Stephen Speaks Relationships. He is our guest today. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Yourself? Yes, Stefan.
Stefan. So sorry about that. Listen, do us all a favor. Pronounce your last name for me, sir.
It is Labossiere.
Wow. Wow. I think you need to say that one more time, please.
Labossiere.
It's a beautiful, absolutely beautiful name. And we are absolutely honored to welcome you to our broadcast and introduce you to our All About Entrepreneurs audience. Everyone, Stefan is a life and relationship coach. He has advice for men, and he has advice for women. He talks about dating, marriage, offers relationship quotes, and he is also the host of his own radio broadcast and author of an awesome book called God, Where is My Boaz? That is some title for a book, God, Where is My Boaz? And it's number one on Amazon, so we absolutely congratulate you, Stefan, and again, welcome you. And tell us a little bit about who Stefan is. What would you like us to know?
I guess the main thing is that, you know, I've gotten here by following God's direction in my life. And that's what I'm all about now, just trying to do what God wants me to do and how God wants me to help others with what he's placed within me and what he's gifted me with. And that's what it's all about, you know, and just wanting to see people live better quality lives and being able to find more success in dating and relationships and just getting to a place where we're on a much more positive path, because there's way too much negativity in the world, way too much negativity dwelling within people, and we're not properly addressing the issues. And I think it's important that we get to a place where we can open up and be honest and talk about these things so that we can truly resolve them and start moving in a better direction.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, how did you get started? I mean, I went to your webpage. It's absolutely banging. Just so much info and a very lively website. I really enjoyed looking at it. How did this all happen for you? How did it get started, and how long have you been doing this?
Well, to be honest, I've always been kind of a jack of all trades, and when I got out of college, I actually got a degree in management information systems. So I'm actually an IT guy. And but I was already working as a call center manager, and then I had an advising company, which technically was like my coaching company. I had real estate investment. I had all kinds of things going on. And, you know, I was just doing my thing and just happy to, you know, I always believed in being as resourceful as possible. My thing was, no matter what climate that we're in economically, I'm going to make sure I have enough skills that I can do something to make money. And that was my whole logic. But as I got closer to God, He started to point me in a certain direction. And what happened was I wrote my first book, which is actually How to Get a Woman to Have Sex with You If You're Her Husband. And that book came about because when I transitioned from Miami, Florida to Georgia, I was around a lot of married couples, and I was coaching a lot of married couples, and I started noticing the issue of the lack of sex. So that's where that book came from. And from there, that really kind of thrust me more into really focusing in on the coaching. It's like God really showed me, this is what I need to do. I need to drop all these other businesses and all these other things. This is my purpose. This is where my focus needs to be. And from there, I kind of really just pushed harder with the coaching and focused my energy in that area and wrote the second book, God, Where's My Boaz, and just kept it going.
Wow. Wow. Well, what's the name of your first book? And tell us how we can connect with you. You have you give us your website address and your
okay.
phone number.
Well, again, the first book is How to Get a Woman to Have Sex with You If You're Her Husband. And people can find me.
If, huh?
Yeah. You're not a husband. When I'm not trying to tell you how to have sex with her, but
I like you already, Steve. Awesome.
And people can find me on my website, StephanSpeaks.com. That's STEPHAN Speaks.com. Facebook, Stephan Speaks Relationships, and of course, they can get the God Where Is My Boaz at GodWhereIsMyBoaz.com.
Wow. Can you tell us a little bit about that book? It's such an interesting title, and I have heard women say that. Where is my Boaz? What is going on?
Well, that book also, again, God inspired, because I had no intentions on writing that book. It came to me at a time where I was actually having a meltdown and prepared to walk away from coaching and speaking and everything dealing with relationships. And before I quit, so to speak, I prayed, and in that prayer, that's where that book came from. And I that happened last year, May. I probably started writing in June, and the book was out by August.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly. But that's what happens when, you know, again, when God's behind it, it's a whole different ballgame. That book, the whole purpose behind it is a lot of women are struggling with being single, especially a lot of women in the church. And unfortunately, they're not really being offered a lot of guidance. They're being told, just pray, just wait. Oh, there's nothing wrong with you. Oh, there's not enough men in the world. Oh, all these different external explanations as to why their struggle exists. And the reality is it's more than that. It's a lot deeper than that. It starts within them. And there has to be a process of self-evaluation and understanding what other issues are hindering them from receiving that blessing. Because in all that we want to succeed in life, there's work to be put in. That's the reality of it. Whether it's business, relationships, it makes no difference. There are certain processes we have to endure, we have to embrace if we want to see results. And so that's what the book is pretty much about. It's laying out, hey, this is what may be in your way to getting that blessing. And this is how you need to go about it or consider going about it and approaching the situation if you want to see better results. And so it's not just about necessarily getting a man, though. It's mainly about finding yourself and making sure that you're on your correct path. So whether that's a man that's, you know, the blessing waiting for you, or better results in your career, or just being happier as an individual, as a woman, that's what the goal is to help you find by reading this book.
Wow. Wow, that is awesome. You know, that God can just download and give you the answer, you know, to a lot of questions that some women are having. And now let me ask you this. I was reading your on your website, you talk about three reasons you shouldn't take your ex back. I want to hear that. What are those three reasons? And let us find out some more about that.
Well, the first reason is that the ex never respected your relationship and still doesn't. You know,
ooh,
the reality is that a lot of people want to entertain or consider getting back with their ex, but if there's no respect, then there's no love. And if there's no love, then why are we even entertaining this conversation? You know, you can't overlook that fact. Just because they say, okay, I'm sorry, come back, that's not showing respect. You know, there has to be an understanding of the issue, which brings me to number two. You haven't properly addressed the issues. So, for example, they cheated on you. They come back, oh, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Okay, fine, I'm going to move past it. Let's get back together. Okay, that's not addressing it, and you have not resolved the issue. You are attempting to move past it. You're attempting to ignore it, but it's still there, and it's going to come back and haunt you. You haven't solved the question of why did this happen? How are we going to go about making sure this does not happen again? What can we do to improve the situation? There's so many things that have to be addressed before you even think about entertaining a romantic relationship with them again. And then the one that I think is even, well, I won't say most important, but I think it's very big, is that you were never in love. You were just attached.
Wow.
And the reality is that there are so many individuals using love to validate entertaining negative situations. They're using love as a scapegoat. And the reality is love did not exist there. Fear existed there. Complacency existed there. So many other negative reasons are trying to keep you in that relationship. Not one of them is love. But people can't validate their actions by saying, I have an unhealthy attachment, or I'm scared to be alone, or, you know, I don't want to walk away from this investment. No, the only way they can get others off their back or to support them entertaining this individual or this situation is by claiming, I'm in love with them. No, you're not. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to us. So be honest about what's going on here, because all you're going to do is keep yourself in this negative cycle, and then you're going to wonder why you're not getting the love you deserve, the relationship you deserve in your life.
Wow. Whoa, you said a mouthful. You said a mouthful. I'm going to be transparent because I don't know any other reason to be, and I at one time would have absolutely been embarrassed to even talk about this issue, but because I have ran into so many people that God has even allowed me to counsel because of this, I am divorced, and my ex did cheat, and I tried taking him back. Oh, my God, probably at least 10 different times that I can remember. And the thing is, he never wanted accountability. I wanted us to go to counseling. I wanted us to do this and do that. And he kept saying, I'm only accountable to God. I don't need to talk to someone else. You know, and that statement never sat well with me at all because I knew there were other issues going on. And so as I began to study, I read a lot on, you know, self-help books to help me identify what was going on with me also because, you know, I knew that there was a problem, and even though the relationship wasn't healthy, I kept taking this person back. And, of course, you know, believing God was going to supernaturally change them even though they weren't trying to be accountable. And no matter how much I prayed or fasted, you know, it wasn't going to work. It wasn't working, I should say. And so, you know, you stated some very good reasons to, you know, keep it moving. But we can be addicted to people in unhealthy ways. And sometimes, so for some people, it does work. You know, but they are going through, you know, the mode of being accountable. And then for some folks, you know, they just never feel like they need to do that. And, you know, they want their coffee, cake, and whatever else comes along with that. So, that's some good advice. You know, some people might disagree with that, but, you know, to each his own. But I can see the wisdom in, you know, if that person doesn't respect you, you know, they're lying to themselves if they say they are, and they're not trying to do anything to be accountable. So, wow, that's really interesting. I'm sure you've got plenty of life, real life stories to attest to that.
Yeah.
Any of them you want to share with us that, you know, might help someone better understand that statement?
Well, you know, I'll tell you that I just recently had a client who came to me because she just ended another relationship, well, a situation. She was dealing with this man for 2 years, but there was no official commitment. And she finally reached her boiling point, and she wanted to walk away from it, but she was still struggling with it and struggling with the fact that he was still trying to reach out to her and keep her in his life and things of that nature. And once we sat down and reviewed her past relationships, we discovered the same pattern of holding on to situations she recognized in the beginning was not for her. And that's the thing that a lot of people have to be honest with themselves about. The issue doesn't just magically happen out of nowhere in most cases. You saw red flags. You felt something in your spirit that told you, this is not the person or this is not the best person for me. Yet we try to rationalize our intuition, our spirit, the things that we see because, again, we want to hold on to this individual. And it's not really an addiction to the person. It's more an addiction to a situation or the dream of what we hope for things to be. You know, because the reality is that person is not who you're really drawn to. It's the fear of being alone that keeps you there. It's the fear of disappointment. It's the fear of saying, I gave all this time to this individual, and it's for nothing. And we don't want to have to accept that. We don't want to have to face that situation. So we drag things out much longer than they need to be. But people see it. People saw it from the beginning, especially, and I'm not trying to put the blame in any kind of way on women, but women have unbelievable intuition. And I have yet to have a client who had a failed situation and could not say that there was something they saw from the beginning. It's just that they tried to give him a chance. Oh, he had all these good qualities, all this, all that. And I understand the logic, but we have to stop doing that. We have to stop doing that because that's how we're getting ourselves into bad situations. And I feel the need to say it right now. A lot of people are marrying someone they don't even have the deepest feelings for. A lot of people are marrying individuals for the wrong reasons. Marriages are not failing because of money, sex, and all these other surface reasons that they talk about. They're failing because there was no genuine connection to begin with. And when you don't have that foundation, then it can be anything that can tear your marriage apart. Because you didn't really marry the person, you married the situation. You married the circumstances. You married the dream of what you hope to have. And when those things don't come to fruition, then you're going to be gone. But when you marry the person you genuinely connect with, the person that you just love being around, that makes you feel good with their presence alone, well, that person, you can endure some of these financial struggles. You can endure some of these moments where the sex isn't what it needs to be. You can endure all these things thrown at you because you were there for that person, not the circumstances. So people just, again, have to start changing the way that they're looking at relationships, their marriage, and ultimately do not allow their impatience or loneliness or struggle with the process of their own growth to get in the way of making better choices in dating and relationships.
Whoa, you said a mouthful. You said a mouthful. I tell you what, let's flip the script. Let's talk about some of the signs of good marriages.
Some of the signs of good marriages is communication. Two people who can talk to each other. I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to men. They have business things going on or all kinds of projects. I'm like, tell your wife, what do I need to tell her for? I don't got to tell everyone all my business. It's like, wait a minute. That's your wife. You're supposed to tell her. If you don't tell her and she finds out, there's going to be a problem. So when I see a couple who can share everything and talk, that's a sign of a great relationship or a great marriage. People who genuinely, now this one, I, you know, can be faked by some people, but I can tell you that sometimes I can just look at somebody's picture, and there's just an energy that comes off from a happy couple that doesn't come off from other couples, even when they are smiling. There's just something, there's just that positive energy. You can just tell they enjoy being around their partner, and that really shows me something. But again, that's just something that I naturally pick up on just looking at people. I think also being mindful of how the other person feels. So many individuals are just inconsiderate when it comes to their partners, and that is not a sign of a functioning or a good, healthy relationship. You have to be considerate of each other if you truly want to grow and allow things to improve and become the what they can be in your marriage. So I think being considerate, the communication, I think those are great signs. And I also think, you know, being a spiritual person, I have to say, when both parties are putting God first, you know, when they're doing that, they're less likely to fall into the traps of being selfish and seeing things from a negative perspective. They're going to embrace more selflessness in the relationship. They're going to embrace doing things in a more positive manner, because it's not just about your partner anymore. It's also about serving God and honoring what you vowed to him you would do. So I think that when, and I say both partners, because if one partner is just trying to put God first, there's still going to be a problem. You know, but when both partners are embracing that, and I think that's a very good sign. And let's make it clear, putting God first isn't, oh, we go to church together. Okay, that's awesome. I applaud you. But there needs to be more of a direct relationship with God, more of a prayer with the both of you, more of embracing, okay, when we can't agree on certain things, we're going to go to God about it. Or even whatever decisions that we have, we're going to go to God about it. And that's another thing, a couple who can share decision-making processes. Even if you embrace the man being the head of the household, a good leader still embraces the opinion and position of their partner. Plain and simple. If you're just going in trying to do everything on your own, you're going to alienate that individual, the other individual in the marriage, and that's going to cause a problem.
Wow. Well, I have to ask you this. Are you married, or have you ever been married?
I have been married before, but I am currently single.
Okay. You just, you have such a phenomenal amount of wisdom, and I'm just wondering if you have, you know, some experience also in the relationship arena. So that's why I'm asking. And Coach Lalisa, she's been a little quiet. I don't know if she wants to chime in with a question or not, but this has been an awesome time talking with you, Stefan. You've got so much to offer folks. And I'm reading a little bit about the love assessment that you have on your page, and it's by, I think it's a Krishantha.
Krishantha, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it looks really, talks about more commitment is needed, less outside distractions, we need to make more compromises, and be more understanding. And I thought when she talked about more of compromise, understanding, and less of selfishness, and so she says, what can we do out of love for one another? Out of we need to outlove one another is what she's saying. We need to outservice mm-hmm. one another, you know, constantly on both sides, seeing what we can do to please the other person in our lives, how we can cherish the relationship with thoughtfulness and kindness. And a lot of times I do see that in relationships where it's one-sided. One person is giving all the kindness and giving all the consideration, and the other person is very snappy and very demanding and very, really, they act like they're angry toward that other person. And it takes two to make a relationship work. It takes two people putting it in 100%. And so no 50-50, it's 100-100 to make a relationship work. And so it looks like a really great article. And the importance of not holding unforgiveness. You know, I've seen those that it can really affect, like poison to a relationship when you continue to hold things against a person and you're not. Sometimes it's just a maturity issue. Sometimes people can't forgive. I can remember my parents telling me in their early years how my dad would get mad at my mom and he just, you know, they'd be in the same house and he wouldn't speak to her for days. And she'd say, I'd just go ahead and talk and have a conversation with him. And he'd just storm out the room. And she said he just didn't know how to let go. And, you know, many times, you know, you've got to, people get married and they're still growing in that relationship and they really never had the tools to have a great relationship because, you know, sometimes they didn't necessarily see it modeled. So it's not always very easy to live with another person, you know, even though we may love them and care about them. Wow, it just takes time. Now, I want you to talk about a little bit about this first book, too. My goodness, that is some title. If you could tell us, for those that are just joining, we're with Stefan Speaks, and he has awesome two books that he has written, and he is a relationship life coach, and he's offering us some advice on having some successful relationships. Go ahead.
Yeah, so well, let me just say real quick, when it comes to the whole point you made about wondering if I have previous experience with marriage, I think people have to understand that the experience of marriage doesn't give us necessarily the wisdom of marriage. Because if that was the case, then every married person would know what they need to know. The reality is that I gained the wisdom when I got closer to God. I gained the wisdom when I stop being selfish, stop looking at things through what I was trying to achieve and looking at it through what God wants me to see and what God wants me to do. That's what allowed me to learn what I needed to learn, because understand that relationships are about people, and you have to understand people. You have to gain an understanding for women, an understanding for men. That's how I'm able to effectively coach individuals. Not because I can say, well, I've been there too. Yes, that allows me to empathize maybe. That allows me to relate to your experience, but that doesn't necessarily give me the wisdom. And I think it's important for people to know that, because some people think, well, I'm married or only talk to married people. No, you talk to people who have truly embraced the principles necessary to have a successful marriage. Being married does not equal knowing how to be married. Always remember that. Now, as far as the how to get a woman to have sex with you, if you're her husband, with that book, the reality is a lot of marriages are suffering either through lack of sex, lack of quality sex, or just no sex whatsoever, all right? There are crazy stories. I'm talking married couples going years without having sex, and you would never know it. All right, months, husbands miserable, wives miserable. And the reality is that I believe that a lot of people do not understand what it truly takes to have great sex, especially great sex in a long-term relationship and a long-term commitment like marriage. And for the men, what I found is that a lot of them did not understand how to make their wives more sexually receptive. You know, to them it's, hey, we're ready to go, we have needs, let's make this happen. But the reality is that sex for women is not just a physical thing. It's very mental, very emotional. And if you don't know how to pour into that, you're not going to get the most out of her. Not to mention, and I hate to say it, but a lot of women are lying to these men before marriage, the ones who have engaged in sexual activity before marriage. They have these men thinking that they're doing unbelievable, amazing jobs in the bedroom when he's really not doing nothing special. And in the fear of losing him or the fear of hurting his ego, she doesn't tell him anything. Like, I had one couple, they were having sex for 3 years, hadn't gotten married yet, or they were considering getting married. In those 3 years, she never experienced an orgasm with this man. Let him tell it, he's laying it down every night. So now what you have is a couple who's going to get married. He's thinking everything is great. She loves sex with me. To her, it's like, it's really nothing special. I just do it just to satisfy him. And you can't keep the act up forever. At some point, the smoke is going to clear, and now we're going to have this sexless marriage that we see all the time. So, again, it usually does not start from the I do. It started from before that. There was an issue. But it wasn't being properly addressed. So with the book, it's pretty much just laying out what men need to understand in order to make the woman more sexually receptive, how to pour into her emotionally, and also some guidance from a physical perspective as well, and how to make it more pleasurable, how to tune more into her, and really help, not just help marriages with the sex, help marriages improve the overall relationship, which then also in turn can improve the sex in their marriage as well.
Wow. Well, you have a lot to offer. Gosh, and tell our guests again how they can get a hold of you, the website address for those of you just joining in. We're with StephanSpeaking.com, and go ahead, Stephan.
Yes, that's StephanSpeaks.com, StephanSpeaks.com. On Facebook, Stephan Speaks Relationships. You can get the How to Get a Woman to Have Sex with You on Amazon, and you can get the God, Where Is My Boaz at GodWhereIsMyBoaz.com.
Now, do you have some upcoming events that we may be able to find you at? What do you have coming up?
Right now the only event I have at the moment is June 28th in Miami. It's hosted by a company called Do Black Women Deserve to Be Loved? It's a web series that they did discussing the issues that African-American women are having with dating and relationships. So I'll be speaking in Miami. Details coming soon. You can just check my site for that. There's other possible shows that may come up before then, but for right now that's the only official one that's coming up next.
Wow. Wow. And then I see you have Good Girls Can Be the Best Girls. And I think that's on an MP3. You've already, so if people have missed that teleseminar, Why Men Overlook the Good Girls, they can get that on your website, huh?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Well, you know, a lot of women are frustrated. They feel that men chase after the quote-unquote hoes and are overlooking the good women, and, you know, they don't understand what the problem is, or they'll just say, oh, men are immature, men are this, you know, all these different reasons, but that's not really what the problem is. And so with the teleseminar, I just dive into the different reasons that women should be mindful of why men overlook the good girls. Some of them are for the wrong reasons, and some of them make perfect sense and things that women can improve upon within themselves. I'll give you one example. I was saying in there that a lot of good women, so to speak, can be very passive and are withholding their desire, or they're holding back. They're very guarded, okay? And then because of this, they don't show the desire that the man wants, whereas the bad girl, quote-unquote bad girl, he tends to be more willing to, you know, show him she wants him and you know, really express her desire for him. That's why you have some situations where you'll have men who still deal with these crazy women. Because what people don't realize is even though she may be acting crazy, it still makes them feel desired. And the reality is that people in general, men and women, want to feel valued and desired by others. Plain and simple. It's the same reason why some women will overlook the crazy guy as long as he doesn't cross a certain line, even those who do cross certain lines. Because it still gives her a feeling of value or being desired by this man, even if it's negative and unhealthy. Because we crave that. And I think that, so I even tell good men, the same way I tell good women, you have to learn how to balance being able to express that desire, not being so guarded. So many people have walls up, and I always say the same walls you have up to protect you are the same walls blocking your blessings. And we have to work on bringing those down if we want to be mindful of getting more and better results out of our relationships.
Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. I'm telling you, I'm looking at some of these titles that you have. They are amazing. 10 Signs You're Dating a Dog in Disguise. How I Rise and Grind, a prize giveaway. Tell us about that.
Oh, that was just a contest giveaway that was sponsored by McDonald's when they were doing McCafe Weekend. So they were giving free coffee, and, you know, we just asked us to do some blogs about it. So just discussing, you know, how I get up in the morning and start my day and get things rolling to be efficient and make progress.
Awesome, awesome. You have five foods you should never eat again. French kissing. You tell us how to improve our kissing also. My goodness.
You know, I try to, my thing is that I think there's a lot of relationship sites and articles that only address surface generic topics. And I think it's important that we address every and anything because it's all things that we face. We can't just try to look at the cute stuff, the where to go on a date and how to do this. I mean, that's cool, and I'll write on that stuff too, but I think it's important that we get into the more difficult topics to discuss, things that, yeah, some people may struggle to read or struggle to embrace, but it needs to be talked about because we're not going to resolve the issue. And I think especially for people of God, people in the church, we have a really horrible protocol of not talking about certain things. Oh, you can't talk about this. Oh, you got to leave that alone. And that's why nothing's being solved. You can't have this position of a lack of openness and expect to create better results and progress in people's lives because these are still things people are facing, and we have to be able to talk about them, period.
Wow, wow. Now, when can we catch you on the radio? You're on KISS 104 FM?
Well, yeah, those are just random spots that I do. So it all depends on when they give me a call and, you know, have me come back on. So it's not like an every week thing or anything like that.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, and you've been on the Tom Joyner Show. Gosh, I'm sure that was exciting.
Yeah, it was an experience. It kind of happened so fast, but, yeah, it was cool.
And you've been on ABC, the Huffington Post Live. Mm-hmm. College Speaker Cafe, and GQ. So, my goodness, you are definitely out there around the country, possibly around the world. But, gosh, what can we expect to see from you in the future?
Definitely a lot more books. My next book coming up is for the men. It's kind of the male's version of God, Where's My Boaz? And the title is He Who Finds a Wife. And it will be addressing a lot of things that men need to be mindful of and they need to look for when wanting a genuine relationship in their life. I have a lot of other book titles and projects I'm going to be working on, more speaking internationally, because I have clients all over the world when it comes to coaching. I have clients in Africa, Dubai, London, you know, everywhere. So I'm kind of more of an international, I'm transitioning more into the international speaking and international coaching and everything like that. But just overall, just continuing trying to help people and do what I can. There might be more and more things in the works. It's all up to God, what he wants to have happen and when he wants to have it happen. So I'm just trying to follow the directions in the meantime and let the rest take care of itself.
Well, awesome, awesome. Well, we've got a minute or two to wrap up the show. Stefan, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show, taking the time to give us your wisdom and your expertise. And we're going to, again, have you tell folks how to get a hold of you and hope you get to listen a little bit longer. Our next guest is also a technology person who's also is in the set social media arena, and his website is Christian Social Network. So, Stephen Stefan, I hope you can connect with that, because he's a pretty exciting guy, technology guy also. But, yeah, tell us how to get a hold of you before we get off. And, again, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it. And people can find me again at StephanSpeaks.com, StephanSpeaks.com, on Facebook, Stephan Speaks Relationships, Twitter, Stephan Speaks. You can get the How to Get a Woman to Have Sex with You If You're Her Husband on Amazon, or just go to my site, and you can also get the best-selling book, God, Where Is My Boaz, at GodWhereIsMyBoaz.com.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and being a guest. We so much appreciate you. And Coach Lisa, did you have anything that you wanted to say before Stephan?
Oh, before Stephan steps off, no, steps away.
Cute little play on words, yeah.
Right, Stephan LeBossiere, right, is an awesome and amazing your guest. That's been so powerful. I've been just sitting here listening and trying to take notes at the same time. I'm married 24 years, going on 25 years, and it's been a whirlwind, I should say, and or a storm, I don't know, or a little bit of both. Certainly, it would have been nice to have had your books in 1990. Possibly, we got married in March of 1990, so it would have been nice to have read them. But we met in August of 1988, so it would have been nice to have had them possibly. In June of 88, but certainly could have reread them in 89, and most definitely throughout the marriage. But I will get them and read them now, because I'm going into the next 25 years or so. I think it would be great to have, and because we also work with a lot of, I also work with a lot of people who, like you said, a minister in the church, so you always get that, people wanting you to prophesy over them getting a Boaz and what have you, and men wanting that virtuous woman. And actually, just this past Saturday, not this past Saturday, but the other Saturday, I was speaking at a church, and I told, and it was a women's conference, and I said, you know, sometimes women, we're looking for a, we want a boo, but we end up with a boo-hoo, you know. So.
That's cute.
I need to, yes, I told them, stop getting, yes, you end up with a boo-hoo, but I'm going to, I definitely need to get your books for sure, because of the work that I do. And then after reading that, I will definitely be making lots of recommendations for people. And referring them, I've enjoyed what I've heard so far. I will definitely be making recommendations for people. So I've been on your website. I've been looking around. I've been on your Facebook page. I didn't know you before, so thank you, Coach Cassandra, for inviting him to the show and bringing him on. I didn't, had never heard of you, but I'm absolutely, I'm, guess what? I made it 24 years without you, Stephan. But I love what you said about that whole wisdom thing and about God. And so, yes, wow, a person could be in a marriage and that marriage could fail or whatever, but it doesn't mean that they had the wisdom from God. They may have had grandma's wisdom and, you know, Uncle Charlie's wisdom. And you know what? This is something that I had said, and I don't know if you are old enough to know anything about this, but because I don't know your age, but I was born in the 50s, but anyway. So there's music that I grew up on as a teenager. And I said that that music did not teach people to me, in my opinion, a lot about good relationships, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, about healthy. It taught them some things. There was a song where the guy said, you know, understanding is the best thing in the world, you know, between a boy and a girl. But some of those songs, you know, touch me in the morning. And, well, no, why am I touching you in the morning, honey? I wasn't with you last night, and you ain't my husband. So, you know, those. Yeah, I'm just using that as one example. The songs were
mm-hmm.
nice. Yes, we danced, we sang, we had the red lights in the basement and all of that. And that's just one. I mean, you know, there's just so many others, you know, that I could think of. I can't, right now they're not coming to me, but I could do a whole show on some of that music. You know, there's one song I used to use as an example where the girl would say in the song, she would say, if you leave, yeah, would say, I'm going down because you ain't around. I'm like, no, baby,
mm-hmm.
down. When you ain't around, we actually go up. But when you say that to yourself and you tell yourself, so I would just love to hear about the psychology part of some of this music that our people are listening to, the psychology impact, the psychological impact of these songs. And I know when I was a young girl, I listened to them over and over and over, just on the stereo, just playing the record over and over. It took a considerable amount of effort to even do that, because back in those days, you had to put the arm over there, you know, you had this hi-fi. But today, where you have this just downloading this in your ear, you can put on some earplugs and just leave it there, and you can listen all day long to be drunk up with somebody that ain't even your husband. Anyway, so I can talk all day about that kind of stuff. I'm glad to have met you. And
thank you.
Look forward to having you back. I know you have to go, and we're at the time we have another guest coming on, but there's a ton of things I could ask you with you about. So I will definitely be following up and getting your book. And I just enjoying the wisdom that God has given you to help couples, you know, how to get her to have sex with you. I'm in that scenario, I'm the her. And get that for him and let him read that. Not that I have a real problem in that area, but I want it to be perfect. I want it to be
better.
I want that area to be fully packed. Yeah, because I want the full benefits of being married. I want the full benefit. And so I want that side to be like popping, you know, just like the popping, just like the outfits and the hairdos and the career. And to find it, we ain't leaving that out. But anyway, so I just wanted to share that little bit. But thank you for writing these books. Thank you for listening to God. Thank you so much. And like I said, I work with a lot of women. I do a lot of women's intimate groups with women that struggle with these things. So all I can say is thank you, God bless you. And you'll see my order going in. I'll be placing my order. Boom, boom. Yes, thank you, Coach Cassandra. Back to you.
All right. Well, Stefan, it has been real. It has been very educational and informative, enlightening. And, yeah, we definitely need your gift in the earth. And, you know what, right before you get off, I always like to ask this question. You know, many people have gifts and talents. Like you said, you were in a technology expert. You were doing this and doing that. How did you finally come to the place of understanding that this was the gift that you needed to focus on? And I know sometimes I have felt that way myself. I have all these talents, all these gifts, and then trying to focus in on that one thing that will be your success line, I guess, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it was simply just asking God. And 'cause, you know, the problem that a lot of people of God have is that they go into prayer wanting God to lay it out for them with signs or just kind of show them in some kind of way rather than just ask the question and just listen to the answer in their spirit. And the reason why the other way, the more traditional way, is risky is because I always tell people you can ask God for signs, but don't forget the devil can throw up billboards too. You know, so you can be very easily distracted and led into the wrong path of what your life should be. And I give you a perfect example. You know, growing up, one thing I had to come to realize is that when I look back on my life, there was always hints that I would end up in this direction, but I wasn't embracing them. And I say there were hints because even when I was 13, 14 years old, I would meet people, and this would be the first time I'm ever meeting them, first time I'm ever talking to them, and within a couple hours, they would tell me their life story, and they would tell me deep, dark secrets that no one knew. I would hear about people being raped and all kinds of things, molested, and I just met them. You know, so it always made me wonder, why are they telling me this? Why are they always opening up to me? But I kind of left it alone. When I was in college, even though I started off as an accounting major and then I switched to IT, I'll never forget, even though I wasn't motivated by school, so I kind of just did enough to get by. But when it came to psychology class, it excited me for some reason. And I aced through a psychology class. Without even trying, I got an A in that class. So, again, there was little, but the reason why I didn't embrace getting a psychology degree was because I was told, oh, there's no money in there. Oh, you know, you can't do anything with a psychology degree. You know, so many of us are led the wrong way because of what we think will make the most money or what our parents and friends think is a suitable career to go into or what they think we're good at, you know. And the reality is that we have a deeper passion, but we're not embracing it because we're afraid to. Maybe we're afraid it's not going to be lucrative enough, or we're afraid that it's not going to be respected enough, or whatever the case may be, so we end up staring off the wrong path. So for me, once I stopped worrying about all these other things, because I can tell you right now, it's not like when I embraced being a coach, I said, oh, here's a million-dollar idea. No, not at all. You know, I had other methods that I could use that looked a lot more surefire ways to make a lot of money, you know, and to embrace also the process, because that's another thing. I would tell people, you know, for the first couple of years that I was doing this, it was a struggle. I mean, living month to month, check to check, or not even check to check, because it's not like it was a consistent check, living week to week trying to figure out how I was going to get by. You know, yeah. And really having several occasions where I was prepared to quit and just say, forget this, I'm just going to get a 9-to-5 and cause a day by embracing the fact that every time I prayed about it, God was like, no, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I had to stick with it. And I finally had a breakthrough, you know. And so that's what I think people have to be mindful of in trying to figure out their path is, one, understand, yes, there's going to be a period of there's going to always be sacrifice. But there's going to be a period of even greater struggle before you start to see some successes. And it's like the rule of business. Don't expect to make money for the first year or 2 years. You know, that's just the way it works. But also stop listening to your friends. Stop using your own logic in trying to determine what you want to do. It's not about what you want to do. It's about what you were created to do. What are you best at? Where is your passion? What does God need you to do in your life? And when you start to embrace that, no matter how scary it may sound, and it gets scarier the more we veered off that path. So if your calling in life was to be a teacher, but now you went through medical school and you became a doctor, you embracing walking away from being a doctor to go teach is not going to be an easy thing to do, you know? So that's why it's important that we, especially with children, help them make that decision or help them discover their purpose well before they walk down the wrong path for too long, because it just gets harder and harder to now get into your rightful position.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow, that's something to think about. It really is, you know, and I can relate because I've always had people, I would meet people who would tell me their deep, dark secrets, and it's like, my mom doesn't even know this, or my husband doesn't know this, and I think, you told me all that, you know? People always tell me I'm very approachable, very talkable, and I just love people. And I do know that is a gift from God, but didn't know that it was something that he, you know, really wanted me to do, you know, as a living. I just didn't know that. I just thought, you know, I was just blessed to have that uncanny gift. And so sometimes it just can take a minute for you to really, for the dots to connect, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I guess because so naturally you don't think of something that is something that you do as a lifestyle. I've met people who are great singers. They said, my family was singing all our lives, but I never thought of that as a long-term career because it's just something we do. And it can be so simple, but we're clueless sometimes.
Well, you know what? I think the better word to use is we're distracted, and that's the problem. We're distracted by life. You know, when I look at biblical times, one thing I say is that a lot of them had less distractions. So it's no wonder that they had so many connections with God, so many moments of being able to truly receive in their spirit what they needed to do. In today's day, we have all this TV, all this, the music, as you know, you guys spoke about a little earlier, you know, just the negative relationships around us, the dysfunction. There's so much going on, and we're distracted. And it makes it harder for us to hear God. Because I can tell you that for me, what also added to my ability to figure things out was I was a guy who used to say, there's no way I would ever be with a woman I never had sex with. There's no way I'm going to stop having sex. You don't even talk to me about it. And I got to a point where God kind of slapped me upside the head, and I went celibate for 3 years. And that period of time is really what opened my eyes to all kinds of things, because I finally removed one of the biggest distractions people face in their life. And that's the thing. And even just take it further, I've gone like weeks where I would say I'm not listening to any TV, listening to any radio or watching any TV. And it makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference when you start shutting down all these outside distractions and allow yourself to focus and pray and really hone in on what's going on, because the voice is there. God is not... In a lot of situations, it's not that God has not given us an answer or he has not spoken. It's that we're not hearing him correctly. It's almost like someone speaking to you and you're standing on the other side of the room with a bunch of other things in between. But he's still talking. He's giving you the message. You're just not hearing it because there's too much in between you two and you're too far away. You got to remove all those things, take a step closer, and now you'll hear the answer.
Wow, that's great. That is just so true. And, you know, you do see the reality of that. You really do, where people are having conversations, but they're not really tuned in. And you'll say, did you hear that? No, what did you say? Or when did you say that? They're so busy thinking about the next thing, or they're distracted. And I have to tell you, I am a person who has, I don't watch TV. I mean, now if I'm at your home and, you know, you have it on, you know, I'll probably look at it if it's something halfway decent. But as a lifestyle, I have chosen not to watch television. And I feel like the quality of my life has improved because I'm more engaged in life, in creating things. Because I would easily come home from work, sit there and watch TV like a zombie for 3 or 4 hours, you know, maybe more. And I just, you know, and God's telling me to write a book, and God's telling me to do this and do that, but I'm so, you know, and even though it was Christian TV, you know, you can be doing a good thing, but is it a God thing? You know, if God is trying to get your attention to be the next Paula White or to be the next P. TV, Jake, and you sitting in front of the TV, numb, watching television, and God's trying to get you engaged into life, into what's happening, but you are so focused on being like everybody else. Because let me tell you, when I started pulling back to write the book, when I started pulling back to do the conferences, I mean, people would get upset. Well, what are you doing? I'm writing a book. You're writing what? You know, what makes you think you can really write a book? I don't know what God told me to, so I'm gonna follow God. The Bible says it's better to obey God than man. So we need to focus in on what God wants us to do to find our true purpose. We're living beneath our purpose because we're spending too much time trying to live the so-called normal life and be like everybody else. And God is trying to get something in you, through you, to be a greater blessing, you know, because your gift is for someone else. It's not for you just to sit up and brag about, you know, oh, I've got this gift, I've got, what you doing with the gift? You know, who's being blessed by the gift? You know, so you made a great point there.
Yeah, and let me
Coach,
say that.
Coach, this is David Knight. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, David. Yeah, we're getting ready to bring you on in. But, yeah, we'd love to hear your comments. Go ahead, sir.
First of all, I want to say it's an absolute blessing for the show and Stefan, a plethora of knowledge, and I'm pretty sure that there's a lot more that we can stay tuned for. I just want to add a simple equation that kind of fits to what you all are talking about at this particular point, gifts and purpose. Write this down, if you will, and the listening audience, write this down as well. Gifts plus purpose equals destiny. Everyone have gifts, and it shows up during that journey in life. But if it's not working according to the purpose in which God established it to be, you can find yourself off course. Get into the Word. To find your purpose, it will be revealed when you get into the Word, and God will actually put your gifts and your purpose together so you can end up where He wants you to be, and that's destiny. I hear people talk all the time about, you know, man, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain today. Well, God never intended for you to climb up the rough side of the mountain. You know, going up the rough side of the mountain is because of poor decisions. So, Stefan, I'm right there with you. You know, operating in your gifts according to what it was purposed for will lead you to your destiny. And I'll leave it right there, Coach. Back to you.
Oh, I love that. I love that, David. Can you repeat that again? What you said, gifts plus purpose?
Gifts plus purpose equals destiny. We all have gifts. And if we utilize those gifts according to what it was purposed for, we will find ourselves on course and where God intended us for us to be. If we all have gifts, but we're all not operating according to what it was purposed for. That's why we find ourselves off course. You know, get into the Word, God will reveal your purpose for your life. And you put your gifts together with your purpose, and you will arrive. Or you will be on course where God is actually pointing you to me.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. Stefan, that's our next guest, David Knight, who is the founder of the Christian Social Network. And I hope you're able to get on board. He's got a lot to offer. It's the Facebook for Christians. Not that you have to be a Christian to get on, but he's going to explain that to us in a minute. But, yeah, David's a great guy, and you guys can make some great connections, I'm sure. With that being said, I think that's a good segue. Stefan, I'm so glad you have come on the show today. So glad that you stopped by and graced us with your wisdom. And we definitely want to keep in touch with you, sir.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. It was great.
Most definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Oh, that.
All right.
Coach
have a great day. Yes.
Good.
And Coach Lalisa, you're going to introduce David Knight.
David Knight. Oh my God, I can't say enough about this man. David Knight, who is the CEO and founder of the Christian Social Network, and also the creator of Miracle Monday. David is an avid believer of finding your purpose. He is going around the globe, really, helping people. He's international right here on All About Entrepreneurs now, coming to us with his segment and his version of Miracle Mondays. And guess what? It is Monday. It's Memorial Day. David is an IT expert. He's also in knows how to work with people who need planning, and you need to get your operation. You know, sometimes people are in business, but they don't have the operations piece of the business and how to manage and get things done. And so David is all, you know, you can't be in IT and not know operations, because many organizations can't operate or even manage properly without IT departments that help them manage and oversee their information and their information system, how everything connects. And so anybody that could put together an entire Christian social network, which is equivalent to a Facebook for Christians, can you imagine? It's just like a Facebook. How does one even, you know, many people probably wonder, you know, wow, I wonder what it would be like to, you know, meet, Mark Zuckerberg. I wonder what it would be like to meet the person that created Facebook, or the person that created LinkedIn or YouTube or Google or any of them. I know people have wondered that, because I wondered that. And so, wow, who would have ever thought that God would hook us up with and bring us, and we're able to meet, talk, and chat. I met him in person, live in living color, right here in New Jersey. The owner of the Christian Social Network, the person who did create a project that is equal to Facebook. Wow, I'm just still in awe and can't get over that, you know. Because, again, most people know that Facebook has, you know, over a billion people have signed on, have opened probably close to 2 billion that have ever had a page on it. But many people may have closed it down for whatever reason. And there are some people that Facebook shut them down. I know people that they were shut down because of the things that they posted on there. But most people today know. So just imagine now when you watch TV and movies and you see people, you see this with their logos. The news goes off, they got about 5 logos at the bottom. Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and others. So just imagine, and it's very shortly, and they will have Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and then they'll have the symbol for the Christian Social Network. And so we're speaking to the owner and the founder. He's also a military person. He's also a veteran in the armed forces. And so that's also very awesome that he would come today on Memorial Day to launch his new segment on All About Entrepreneurs show. So we are honored, and we celebrate not only you, and I'm not sure if our last guest was military or anyone else on here, but we definitely want to publicly say to all of that, those who have served in any of the armed forces, I'd like to say thank you from all of us on All About Entrepreneurs. We'd like to say thank you to all of you, and especially you, David. Thank you for your service. We thank you for your service, because we know freedom isn't free. Many men and women like you paid the price. And being down in Washington, D.C. over the weekend, I got a chance to see a lot of tributes to the military and those that have served, those that have passed on, and everything. So, yes, so David Knight has so many more things that he's going to do. He has to write, but right now he's just traveling all over teaching people about the benefits of being on the Christian Social Network, which in and of itself is a purpose and a calling and enough to keep us busy. But he's going to tell us more about what he's doing. So I introduce to some and present to others Mr. David Knight Sr.
Thank you very much, Kostas. First and foremost, I just want to say thank you to the Most High, you know, through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, this is an awesome journey in life that that we're all experiencing. And I'm just going to give you guys a snapshot of the one that I experienced. You know, I do believe in finishing what I start. You know, I put 21 years in United States military, retired United States Marine, been married for 28 years. I have a 25-year-old and an 11-year-old that keeps me going. You know, so I do believe in finishing what I start. I do believe in finding purpose, and I do believe in being committed to what I agree to be committed to. The Christian Social Network, not about David Knight. This was all Holy Spirit inspired, not for myself, but for the expansion of God's kingdom and the glory of my Lord and Savior. You know, the Christian Social Network is actually an alternative social media for those that struggle with worldly social media, you know, not real comfortable with the inappropriate graphics, the inappropriate language, the inappropriate content. You know, it's a place where you can come and minister and be ministered to without being persecuted for being a Christian. You know, it's for everyone. And I would encourage everyone that's listening to go to www.mycsn.org and sign up and just take a look at it. Everything that you can do on the worldly social networks, you can do on the Christian Social Network. And from the Christian Social Network, you can actually post to the other social networks without even logging off. There's a number of things that we want to accomplish, and certainly during this lifetime, you know, I do hope to see some of it come to fruition. Number one, we know today that the body is struggling for resources. You know, churches are being foreclosed on, giving is down, et cetera, and this is one of the reasons why the Christian Social Network was inspired. You know, my mentor used to go around having pastoral luncheons and speaking to pastors about, you know, the state of churches in America. And he made a profound statement in 2013. He said, for the first time since the Great Depression, churches were being foreclosed on. Now, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner. I own several businesses. My background and my gifts in information technology. And I've been through every level of information technology that you can think of, from the lowest level of IT technician to IT executive, IT boardroom, and IT owner of an IT company. So I know information technology. So the Spirit inspired me to use my gifts to create an environment so that Christians can have a place on social media that they can call their own. Like I said, this is not about David Knight. The name of the site is the Christian Social Network. You know, it's for God's kingdom. And there's a couple of things that we're doing. One initiative that we're getting ready to kick off in June is called Miracle Mondays, because we know that families are still struggling. Mothers are having trouble keeping food on the table for their kids. Fathers are struggling to do their part and pay the bills. So we know families are struggling. And we want to do our part. It's a small part, and eventually we believe and know that God is going to bring the resources that we can do a lot more. But here's what we're going to start in June. It's called Miracle Mondays. Miracle Mondays is going to be a way that we can do our part to bless needy families by giving up to $250 every Monday to a needy family. The needy family can't nominate themselves. It would have to be someone on the outside looking in that actually knows of a needy family, and they'll be able to nominate that family on the Christian Social Network. And a panel will decide on what family to bless on Miracle Monday. And we'll make the announcement every Monday right here on the All About Entrepreneurs radio show. Tell your friends, relatives, neighbors, tune in, join the site. So when Miracle Mondays is completely formulated, you can begin to nominate individuals that you see who have a need. And you can nominate from across the country. It doesn't matter where you are. You can make the nomination. And the Christian Social Network, along with the other partners, the All About Entrepreneur Show, the Fran Harmony, the Yes Academy, will all participate and bless that needy family. So that's one of the initiatives that the Christian Social Network is actually going to be implementing in June. The Christian Social Network is all about kingdom building. Here's the vision. Our vision is to build a social networking community to connect God's kingdom worldwide using the internet and social media. The mission of the Christian Social Network has two scripture foundations, Mark 16:15 and Matthew 28:19. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So we're commissioned to do that by our Lord and Savior. So we're going to use social networking to go into all of the world. Christian Social Network also have tools that will allow churches and nonprofits to bring in much-needed resources. Imagine this, if you will. Today's social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, those social networks gross over $100 billion, billion with the B. Where do you think the kingdom would be positioned if part of those resources was circulating in the kingdom? Imagine that. Imagine a kingdom where we eradicate poverty, we eradicate homelessness, we eradicate a lot of what's causing issues today in the church and in our lives, and that's financial. So the Christian Social Network is going to be a place that's going to try to be a vehicle and a catalyst to bring much-needed resources to church organizations and nonprofits. We also have a fundraising department for the Christian Social Network. Just go to mycsn.org, and you can click on a fundraising page. You can fill out an application, and we'll put together a fundraising campaign for you. Coach, I think we're coming close on time, so I'll just wrap this up real brief. I would love to come back and do Mondays for you. So whatever you decide you want me to do, I'll be available to support this show. Once again, I want everyone within the sound of my listening voice, tell friends, relatives, and neighbors to tune in to the AAE show, 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time, and stay tuned for Miracle Mondays. Everybody needs help. Collectively, we can all get together and help the body. Coach, I want to give it back to you right now. If you have any questions, I'll be here to answer.
Well, I think that's just fantastic. The Christian Social Network, again, I tell you, I never thought I was going to meet Mark Zuckerberg. But listen here, I've met the equivalent. Absolutely. I've met the equivalent. So, David Knight, I'm telling you, you rock. And this concept of Miracle Day, what a blessing for those individuals who will be blessed. Thankful that we on this broadcast, that we get to be a part of it. I am just so in awe of that. I have to wrap my mind around that first. And that's going to take a minute just to wrap my mind around how God is allowing us to be a part of it. And so again, thank you, Coach Cassandra, for the work that you do in bringing these great dynamic people. Talk about connection. Connections. That was a word that the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit 2 years ago at our women's retreat. We do an empowerment women's retreat every year or so, and we haven't had it in the last year and a half, but 2 years ago we did, and that was the word that came that morning,
at the end of the retreat was connection, and that God was going to connect you. That was God's going to connect us. And sure enough, 2 years later, see, that's why you got to contend for the prophecies. You can't just, because you don't see it right away, think that it's going to go away.
Right.
If God said it, it's going to happen. You just don't know when. And I think another guest on another day made that point clear. You don't know when, but guess what? You don't give up either. You wait, and I see the connection.
You know, that's yes, absolutely, absolutely. I have been meditating on a scripture in Habakkuk that says, watch God and be utterly amazed. And the word watch means to observe. It means to pay attention. And so many times we're not observing, we're not paying attention, and we're not even looking for it. We don't even have our expectation. You know, expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. And sometimes I feel like I overcompensate in that area. I'm always looking for opportunities. But now I'm understanding that's part of how my gifting works. You know, I see something. And I'm the kind of person, I'm spontaneous. When I see it, I feel it, I need to move on it. Because if I sit on it, it'll pass. And I'll think, now why didn't I do something when God, inspired me like that? And see, what sometimes happens, and I see this in other people, you get the inspired action to go, but you don't move on it. And see, we're seeing the greatness of what God has inside of people when they move out. Look at David Knight. We would not be having this conversation today if he had not moved out on the inspiration, if he had not tapped into what God wanted him to do. I would not be talking to you today, Coach Larissa, if you had not tapped into that inspired thing that God had placed on the inside of you. And then he doesn't want you to just stop at that. You haven't arrived just because you're doing that thing, because I'm telling you, greatness is in us. Greater is coming. And it's not about us, like David said. It's not about us. It's about what God wants to use us for. It's about being available for him, for his purposes, for his plans. He said, do all the good that you can do, you know, and when it's in your power to do it, and you don't, it's evil. You're not to hold back or to keep going to the next level, to the next level. Because, see, change is constant. You're either improving, going higher. There's no status quo, really. Because people that are in status quo mode really are very frustrated, very miserable. So if you want to be in a happy place, if you want to feel fulfilled in life, move out into what God has called you to. Just like David, he's got the Christian Social Network. Now he's got partners, and he's doing this Miracle Monday. We've got folks, if you're just now tuning in, David Knight, founder of the Christian Social Network, is on the show with us today talking about Miracle Mondays. And what that's all about, it's about contributing back to society, contributing to people that are in need, people that are hurting. You know, he's heard the cry of the people, and he wants to make a difference. And, you know, and that's God's heart. You know, we should not see people suffering and be able to turn our faith away from it, you know. And I tell you, I'm such a bleeding heart, you know, and I see people holding signs up. You know, I don't think they're holding that up to just, you know, con someone. I'm sure there are people that do that, but I'm telling you, I can't even imagine wanting to make a living just standing there holding a card, you know, looking raggedy, and just to go to your penthouse. I mean, that sounds so cryptic to me. We've got to want to make a difference in our society. We really, that's the bottom line. So just like there are abuses in everything in life, you know, that can be one of them. But I just happen to believe that, you know, I don't think if I give someone $1, $2, $5, that's not going to break the bank. And if you don't use it for good, that's on you. You know, I'm just trying to be a vessel. The Bible says if you give to the poor, that was, you know, like, you know, giving as unto God.
But wait a minute, Coach Cassandra, because if giving somebody $5 is going to break you, you might find that you'll be standing out there next.
Come on now. Come on. Come on. But some people don't look at it like that. They all look at it as, ooh, they out there trying to get your money, you know. And my thing is, if you are that desperate for money that you have to stand outside and hold a sign, you know, shame on you. Shame on you. So how do you feel about that, David? You know, you see people holding those signs out there.
I'm just like you, Coach. I'm a bleeding heart as well. I have some very humbling beginnings, so I sympathize. I can relate, and I help. You know, I think that sometimes where we come up short is when God, you know, edges us or purges us to give, and we don't because we're so worried about what people are going to do with the money, we miss the blessing of being obedient. You know,
come
see, a lot
now.
Of times, you know, we got to get our mindset right and get it off of worrying about what man is going to do with what you give and know that God has a greater purpose. You know, let God take care of the man that, you know, does not do what he was supposed to according to that which was given. Do your part and be obedient. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think that's where we come up short sometimes. So for me, you know, I don't second guess it. You know, if God asks me to give, you know, sometimes my flesh get involved, but I try to be obedient. I try to be obedient and give. And
yeah.
If someone is going to do something outside of what God wants them to do with what I gave, that's between them and God, not me. You know, my charge is to be obedient. I don't want to lose the blessing because I was disobedient, worrying about what someone else was going to do. So it's unfortunate that we have to live, you know, during times where people have to stand at the end of an on-ramp or an off-ramp with a sign, "We'll work for food." I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's a reality. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we have things like Miracle Mondays, you know, because people have a sincere need. People are hungry. They're homeless. You know, they need help. And, you know, everyone collectively is the body. We're all scattered. If my physical pinky finger was hurting, I guarantee you it will make my entire body miserable. So in order to help the entire body, we got to take care of the small pieces, the small parts.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We have to help the entire body to be healthy. And those people that are holding up signs, that are homeless, that are hungry, you know, those are all part of the body that are hurting. And because they are hurting, we're all hurting. So we all should, you know, do our part to hear, to listen, to be obedient, and to obey. So I'm right there with you, Coach. I'm a bleeding heart as well. You know, I grew up in a household where, you know, sometimes there wasn't food on the table. So my dad had to go out and beg the neighbors for leftovers. You know, it was embarrassing back then, but today as an adult, I'm proud of my past, very proud of my past, because my present and my future shows what God can do. You know, it wasn't about where I came from. You know, what it's about is where I'm going.
Praise
so I'm
God.
With you, Coach.
Yes, and who knows? You know, God allowed that to happen so that you would have a heart to help someone because he knew where he was taking you. He knew that in order for you possibly to be obedient in this area where you could have a Miracle Monday, he probably needed to allow that to happen in your younger life to show you that, because some people don't believe that people are really out there hurting, especially in America. You know, it's hard for some people to believe that someone needs help. And, you know, I don't want to spend my time trying to figure out, you know, do you really need help or don't you really need help? I just believe if I have a heart to do the right thing, God is the one that's going to allow me to be blessed because of my obedience. I don't have time to take a microscope or you know, to figure out, are you trying to do the right thing? My thing is, let me do the right thing, and God will deal with you about the wrong thing. So that's the bigger picture in my mind. So, but yeah. So tell us, what was the impetus for you starting the Christian Social Network? How did you get to that point? How did that evolve?
Well, you can actually fact check the information that I'm getting ready to present with you.
Okay.
I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a business owner and I'm successful and I'm blessed. You know, based on where I started from, you know, in the inner cities of New Orleans, uptown New Orleans, I'm very, very blessed today. And I was listening to one of my mentors speak. His name is John O. Jones. And he made that profound statement that for the first time since the Great Depression, churches are being foreclosed on. This was around December 2012. If you go to my, this is where I do a lot of my marketing. If you go to my Facebook page and you go to my January the 8th, 2012, I posted what I was going to do in 2013. It's January 8, 2013. It was my resolution. And the bottom line was, I was going to create a company called Entrepreneurs for Christ. Earn more to give more. How about that? All about entrepreneurs.
I like that.
and I'm creating a company called Entrepreneurs for Christ where –
You know,
I was going to create empowerment zones where I would be teaching and helping entrepreneurs or individuals that are interested in being entrepreneurs to become entrepreneurs, to earn money so that they can give. You know, we've been in a recession since 2008, and unfortunately, one of the first things that goes away when your resources goes away is your giving in church, your tithing offering. That's unfortunate. But, you know, we gotta stand in my house that, you know, the tithe is non-negotiable. You know, the only thing that's negotiable is offering. But tithe, 10%, straight across the board, 10% or more. So I wanted to create that environment, Entrepreneurs for Christ. So as I began to make my plans to begin to put it together, I had that very inappropriate experience on one of the most popular social networks. And it was very, very graphic, very derogatory, and very inappropriate. And, you know, there's two things that I do when I'm in bed in the morning and at night. Late at night, just before bed, I'm on my back, and I'm staring at my ceiling. I'm ministering, and I'm being ministered to. And I do the same thing when I wake up in the morning before I get out of bed. So late that night, I'm very disgusted, very troubled, getting ready to shut down my social network site because that's not what I signed up for. And that's where the Spirit began to minister to me about my gifts and my purpose. See, my gifts is in information technology. And I have an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and I was working on a PhD in computer science. So I know computers and information technology. That's my gifts. And as I began to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit to calm me because of what showed up on this social network, He just began to reveal to me, you know, your gifts are for such a time as this. I've gifted you in information technology. Don't get mad about your experience. Do something about your experience because there's many more Christians on those worldly social networks that have the same experience as you, but there's nowhere for them to go, so they have to stay. So I'm just a vessel that's actually being used. You know, you can liken it to the children of Israel being stuck in Egypt in bondage and slavery, being persecuted, being tormented. And they began to cry out. And God heard their prayers, and he delivered them to a promised land, a land of milk and honey, a place that was much better than where they came from. Everybody didn't make it, but for the most part, there was a place that they could go. Same thing. You know, some of these social networks, worldly social networks today, are really like a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's a lot of Christians there, and you hear the complaints all the time. So now, you know, the Christian Social Network was inspired to be created to give them a place that they can go to be ministered, to be ministered to without being persecuted, without being tormented. I mean, it's the promised land of social media for those that want a better experience on social media. So we're right in the middle of a campaign right now called Social Media Revival. Social media revival. Anything to do with revival is putting God back into. So we're calling this social media revival because we want to put God back into social media. We really want to put God back into every area of your life. Social media is a huge part right now, and we know social media is not going anywhere. You know, it's the form of communications for the future. And so we need to have a place where, when I say we, I'm talking about the body. So anyone that's attached to the body is listening, this is our place. This is not about David Knight. It's not for David Knight. This is about and for the body and the kingdom, the Christian Social Network at mycsn.org.
Right.
If you go to it and you look at it, it is a powerful medium. It is a powerful medium where we can make, I hate to keep harping on this, but there's 30 million Christians on Facebook. None of those resources that Facebook is bringing in, billions of dollars, are circulating in the kingdom. Now we have our own place. Why can't we get those billions of dollars circulating in the kingdom to build and save and help the body? The Christian Social Network is a medium that can actually help with that. Let me share with you all something that's profound. Normally when organizations do fundraisers for nonprofits or entities, you would get a disclaimer that says part of the proceeds will go toward this entity that we're doing fundraisers for. And part of the proceeds are almost often less than 40%. When we do a fundraiser on the Christian Social Network, bishop, pastors, church leaders, I want you all to hear this because I know you're struggling. We give 100% of what we raise to the entity that we're raising funds for. So bishop, pastors, elders, leaders of the church, if you have that lifelong building fund, use the Christian Social Network as a tool to raise the roof of your church. If you have a missions ministry that you're trying to raise funds for, use Christian Social Network as a funding tool to fund those needs. I'm the founder and the CEO of the Christian Social Network, and I'm saying right here on the All About Entrepreneurs radio show, we give 100% of what we raise to your entity. Use this tool. You don't have to go and borrow. Use this tool. We're giving it away 100%. Sign up on the site. Send a friend's request to David Knight, and I will send you a personal message. And I will work with my staff to put together something for you as for a fundraising package. This is a tool for kingdom. This radio show is a tool for kingdom, kingdom building. We're on the airwaves, on the internet, going around the world. Every guest that came on this show, and by the grace of God, thank you, Jesus. Since I've been listening to this show and before I've been listening to this show, every guest that came on the show are entrepreneurs and they're spirit-filled people. That should let you know and tell you right there that God is all over this. So take a look at what we're doing. Support Christian businesses. Support Christian ministries. Support this radio show, and let's connect the body. You know, the body is scattered to the four corners. And we're in everything, things, places, and things that we don't need to be in. Let's get into the things that Christian organizations are putting together. Every organization other than Christian are being supported by their base. Let's as Christians get together and support Christian efforts, Christian businesses, Christians ministry, Christian radio show. Coach, I'm off my soapbox now.
I love it.
Oh, that's good. I am enjoying it, man of God. You just listen. As they say, let her rip. I know you're working on that degree in theology, and I tell you, I can hear the fruit of what you're learning and, you know, just in the application of, you know, wanting to make that come forth in everything that you do. I applaud you, man of God. I applaud you for being a vessel, a conduit for the spirit of the living God in the earth, because that's what we're here for. We're not here by chance, by accident, you know, it's a mistake. No, we are here on purpose. And if you could share what you told us earlier about purpose plus something equals destiny. I love that. Make that statement again and what you had to say for those that missed it.
We all have a destiny that was already preordered by God. It's written out in the books. You know, our job is to find out what his purpose is for us so that we can get to where he's already, you know, called us to be. So here's a real simple equation. Gifts plus purpose equals destiny. Gifts plus purpose equals destiny. We all have gifts. And the gifts actually come out during this journey in life. You know, but sometimes those gifts are not being discharged according to what it was purposed for. So the place where we end up often is not where we wanted to be or where God wanted us to be. You know, sometimes those places we end up is on the rough side of the mountain. You know, I said before, God never intended for his people to climb the rough side of the mountain. You know, we often go up the rough side of the mountain because of our poor decisions. So the equation, gifts plus purpose equals destiny. Your gifts show up during your life's journey. How do you align your gifts and your purpose so that you can go toward your destiny? Get into the Word, and God will reveal your purpose. See, as a business owner, I have employees. They all have gifts at what their job description says that they were hired for. If me as the boss do not come to them with their job description and let them know what their purpose is, they'll never be able to get their job done according to the gifts that they've been hired to do. It's the same thing in life. It's the same thing in life. God has your job description, which is your purpose. And in order to get your purpose, you have to spend time with the boss. How do you spend time with the boss? Meditation, in prayer, in the Word, in the Word, in the Word. And God will reveal to you the rest of the story, which is your purpose. So you take that purpose that God has revealed with you, add it to the gift that he's gifted you with, and there lies your destiny. Think about it. God gave you the gifts for a reason. The reason is your purpose. The reason is your purpose.
And you know what?
He gave you gifts. Yes.
Yes. You know what? Not to cut you off there. Hold on 1 second. Don't lose that thought. But I think there's so many people who can't find their purpose, and I think that part of it could be that, and I know that's how it was for me, I wasn't looking for it. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. So if you're not looking for it, you know, sure, it can just fall on you. It can just fall out the sky on you as you're walking through life. But I think that there's a lot of people that are not finding it because they're not just really not seeking it. They know of a purpose. They've heard people talk about finding your purpose and living your purpose and working in your purpose,
They've even read, some have read this Purpose-Driven Life. I remember in this country when there were millions of people running out, buying that book, getting in groups, doing all types of events and activities built around finding your purpose, but many of them came away still not operating their purpose. And so even though they've learned about it, but how... how to really seek it. I think that what you're saying is so important, that, you know, people seeking God, but seeking God is just like people do spouse. They say, show me my spouse is. People need to start saying to God, show me my purpose. God, you show me. So anyway, I just wanted to add that in so that if there's someone listening who hasn't found it, and you're reading the word and you're going to church and you're in prayer and you're still not finding it, but simply ask that God show me my purpose. Now, he's a God that doesn't lie. He's going to answer, and he's going to show you. Like you, David, he showed you through your IT work, through that situation that you had, that experience that you had, that he showed you. But you had to ask, God, what does this mean? You know, so I'm excited. Oh, I'm just so excited every time I, you know, get on this show in the mornings. I was excited to get up this morning to do the AAE show, you know, just excited. There's so much energy and excitement around this show. There's so much. It's so heavy. That's why I know that this show will be televised live to millions of people in the coming, you know, coming time, because it's so much energy, and this show is so exciting. There's so much excitement and energy around this particular show. So I'm even more excited. Now I'm more excited. And, you know, and I have to say, and what happened was I had just part of the excitement. I had a part, I shouldn't say. I didn't have part of. But I had a part of the excitement, and then Coach Cassandra came, and then she brought another part of excitement. That's what I love so much about her. She didn't just come as a, you know, host. She brought excitement with her. And, you know, David, we tell people that. I tell people that because I have to tell people, I have to talk to people when they're going on job interviews. And I tell them, whatever else you do, bring the excitement with you. Bring your enthusiasm. Don't leave that at home. You know, you got your resume, you got the suit, you got your portfolio. Don't you dare leave your enthusiasm at home, because you're going to walk away without the job. So
absolutely. Nobody want to interview at a funeral. Bring the excitement.
Bring some excitement, some enthusiasm. And Coach Cassandra, she brought that, let me tell you. She brought two guns smoking. Do you hear me?
You know,
with smoking guns. She brought it.
But you know,
and y'all, y'all better recognize, honey. You want some excitement in your situation, you better call Coach Cassandra. Listen, and I thought, and I always thought I was an excited type of person and enthusiasm. Listen. But I have met my match, and so I honor you, woman of God. Listen, and my sister, she knows we love talking about being excited in the things of God. I've preached sermons talking about how exciting it is to be in the kingdom. What? Oh, please. People be like, oh, I don't want to be in the Billy. It's boring. I don't know who they know, but the life I know about, hun, is exciting to the utmost.
Yes, 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 yes. And you know what? That's the life that God has for us. We are to live the fullest expression of who we are. I can't do you, Coach LaLisa, as much as I love you. I can't do you. I can't do you, David Knight, as much as I love you, sir. I can't do you. I can only do me. And you know what? I want to be the best me possible. And I love it that people can actually, you know,
experience the joy that I feel down on the inside of me because God gave it to me. And do you know, at one time, I used to hate being the way I was because it was like, oh, my God, I'm just so excited all the time. Why am I like this? You know, and everybody else just seems so humdrum and so professional and so, you know, having it together. And I'm like, well, I am professional. I feel like I have it together, but I'm excited about it, too. I can't help it. But I don't let hold back anymore. I want to live the fullest expression of who I am because I believe that pleases God. If it doesn't please man, hey, that's all them. But it reminds me of that scripture where, remember when David, it says he ripped his clothes off and he just danced. He was so full of the joy of the Lord and his wife despised him. Do you know sometimes people will despise you because you're just doing you? You're just having joy and loving the Lord and loving people. Some people will hate that. And sometimes I think it's because they envy what you have or they think, oh, it don't take all that. Well, maybe it don't take all that for you, but that's how he wired me. And whenever I get involved in something, I'm 100%. I don't know how to show up 50%, 75%, 99.5% won't do. Remember they used to sing that song? I remember my grandmama singing that. You know,
yes.
99.5% won't do.
Okay. Oh, yes.
We
always
took that to everything, into our marriages, into the workplace, to the radio, to the television. Oh, my God. It would just be so exciting. And you know what, Coach Lalisa? I am so excited about television. So many people are asking, will we come on television? And they're just waiting for the door to open up, to bring us in. But it's already here. It is already here. So you know what? I thank God that we can bring it because I feel like you're my twin. I feel like you're my twin sister because I see that same enthusiasm and joy in you. I thank God for you, Coach Lalisa. I thank God for your spirit to embrace me because I've had some people who wanted to bring me on board, but then, you know, they bring me on, but they let jealousy get in the way because I'm just being me. I'm not trying to do nothing but be me. And when I bring it, I'm going to bring all that energy, all of God with me to make it the best because this show is just as much my show as it is your show. I hope you know that. I know you know that. And I just love it, and I'm doing it as unto God. And that's why I admire people like David Knight and Stefan speaking because, you know, you bring so much of the power of the living God to what you do that people can't help but to be excited about that also. So, you know, I could, yes, yes.
Absolutely. Glory to God. Amen. That's amazing.
And that's what it's about, giving glory to God, not to myself. And if we will do what Habakkuk 1 says, watch God and be utterly amazed. We are going to be so amazed by the end of the year, all the twists and turns that we're taking because of the doors that God is opening. You know, I mean, look at all the people you're attached to, David Knight. I'm sure it's just so much more than you probably could have ever hoped for. It's amazing. It's amazing where God is taking us because we are saying yes. We are going with the flow of the go of God, and he is doing something that's just breathtaking, exceedingly, abundantly more than I can ask or think, Ephesians 3:20. And I'm looking for that exceedingly more blessing. It's here. It's here. Amen.
Abundantly blessed.
Yeah.
Abundantly blessed. And I tell you, every time I hear about this Miracle Monday, I get excited, and you know, Miracle Monday, Power Up Your Possibility Tuesdays, and the teleshow coming up tomorrow, and just a fun.
Yes, so excited.
It's like that song, I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control. Yeah, I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. Yeah, you see, I'm going to like it. I love this control. Being excited and for the things of the kingdom, what? OMG. What better things to be excited for than to be excited for the things of the kingdom? I tell you, God just has such a way. But I know we've been on here long, and it's Memorial Day. Some of us are off. I'm not driving down the highway this morning. Glory to God. So I wanted this show to last forever. You heard that song, Make It Last Forever and Ever. So we can't last forever here, though. Not this morning. So, Coach Cassandra, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Have a wonderful celebration today. Whatever you're doing, whether you're spending time just you and a couple of intimate friends, or whether it's just you by yourself, or whether you're going to be at a big, gigantic cookout or event or some other festivity celebrating Memorial Day, I tell you, if you ever get a chance for Memorial Day, go down to that Washington, D.C. area, Maryland area. Phenomenal place. Oh, my God. I said, all I could say was, I'm coming back. I had so much fun in D.C. They got a conference. Oh, my goodness. They have a new conference area in the national. They got the National Harbor, y'all. Some of y'all got harbors in your towns, and they got the Baltimore Harbor. I was used to going there, but Maryland has created what they call the National Harbor. It's amazing. You got to go. You got to go. I'm telling you. Make it a vacation. They got hotels all around there. Make it. And then they got the Gaylord. If you could stay in the Gaylord. Woo! Boy, that was one beautiful place, I'm telling you. Rows and rows and rows of restaurants and stores and little things to do with you and your children, your family. But I will be back. But we walked around there for several hours on Saturday, but I want to definitely go back. So, and then they have the they have this thing, and I called it a Ferris wheel. It looks like a Ferris wheel to me, but it's called, my sister said, oh no, it's the observation wheel. I'm like, okay now. And the way it sits over the water, it is so beautiful. I put a couple of pictures of that on Facebook. So ladies, it looks like we have a trip to plan to do something. All I in a women's conference, I could see doing some type of women's empowerment conference down at that National Harbor. What a beautiful place. And this, and then they have, like in the Gaylord, they were just rooms upon rooms upon rooms of meeting rooms in that place. So we're going to save up our pennies and nickels, and we're going to do something. AAE Women's Conference, Christian Social Network, televised live in the nation's capital. I'm telling you, I can't wait. I could see it coming. So everyone, have a wonderful holiday.
Yeah,
thank you.
Be blessed.
Dave, thank you to Stephen Speaks. That was some powerful stuff from that young man, I'm telling you.
Yes. And I want everyone to have a super califragilisticexpialidocious day, baby. Now go out there and have fun.
And don't forget it. That's right. Don't forget. Be exciting. Be excited. Let somebody say to you, oh, you're so excited. So, yes, that's right. Because I'm having a super califragilisticexpialidocious day, baby. That's what I'm about to go have right now, Coach Cassandra. I'm about to get my day started. I'm about to go down here and make some potato salad and do some other things and get ready for the cookout. Listen, this is going to be the cookout of the century. So,
all right.
Oh, yes. You know what? We had a caller. I got to let this caller in because you know what? She's probably been waiting. I was in another room and didn't see the switchboard. But God bless you, woman of God, area code 908. I am so sorry. Please charge it to my head and not my heart.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Anyhow, to God be all the glory for the great things he has done and still is doing. Hallelujah. I'm not here to take up too much time. I just want to thank you, Coach Lalisa, Coach Cassandra, and also awesome man of God, David Knight, Jr., Senior. To God be all the glory. I will call back on Monday then because I don't want to take up any more time at this point, but I did want to make a comment relating to your guest early this morning and also, of course, with David Knight, my God, my God, my God. You know, we are often listening to these infomercial commercials that state that such and such and such, A, B, or C has changed my life. Well, I can just say today, I know about Miracle Mondays, my Lord. I know about Miracle Mondays, and I'm tongue-tied because I've been having such a great time. I'm such on a Holy Spirit high. The Lord has just continued to bless and bless and bless. I can hardly contain it. Talking about opening up the windows of heaven, my God, and pouring out blessings, my God, my God. But back to Christian Social Network with the founder of Hallelujah, my God, David Knight. What can I say? Truly, Christian Social Network has changed my life and is changing our lives here at Here We Are to Worship Ministry / Here We Are to Worship Group, Breaking Suffering Silence of Abuse Fundraiser. I tell you, I tell you, I'm not one of those infomercial commercials that this is real. I'm a living testament. I'm a living witness of what the Lord can do in someone's life when God used someone to open up doors for you. I'm speechless. All I can do is just continue to promote Christian Social Network because God is. God is. God is. God is. David, thank you so much. I mean, there's just not enough words. Again, I'm not going to take much time, but I definitely will be calling back in when you kick off the official Miracle Monday because there's so much that I need to share as led of the Lord in that respect. But I just want to touch base on one thing, and particularly what you said, which has got me just bubbling on the inside. Gifts plus purpose equal destiny. Gifts plus purpose equal destiny. And I have to continue, as I choose to, plug in God's talents and abilities training program. When David talked about staying the course, well, there is a course. There is a course that is available that I believe that the Lord has given to me since 2008 and has been running successfully from that time to the date. When the Lord dropped this in my spirit after becoming, and before, I would say, becoming an actual self-published book author, 2009, the Lord had given me a word, and he said whatever I, in that case, it was about using my God's talents and abilities that, I'm sorry, I lost it this morning because I'm still stuck on the other word, whatever I do for Christ shall last. But nonetheless, he spoke a word in 2008 and was in 2009 when he brought it to fruition, which ties into Matthew 25:14 all the way up to verses 33. And I did not know what that meant until the latter part of 2009 in July, actually, when the Lord put together the first conference. I'm inspired to be inspired, you know, in that respect, all springing from our book, I'm inspired. But nonetheless, the course itself, again, is God's Talents and the Training, God's Talents and Abilities Training Program, deriving from Matthew 25:14. Amen. And the purpose is just that. God's Talents and Abilities Training Program consists of one course, equaling 7 simple sessions totaling 15 practical, effective, successful, and proven steps to take you, yourself, your church, or anyone else at large to the next level and dimension. Why? Because taught from a biblical, effective, proven teaching perspective, God's Talents and Abilities Training Program will enable you to refine and discover, understand, and learn the divine purpose of who you are and why you were given extraordinary abilities, gifts, skills, and talents, and just what to do with them. A course of simple, practical instruction with 15 effective steps to using your God-given talents and abilities will certainly cause you to step out, soar, smile, and shine again, as it has done for me, as Hallelujah, a self-published book author, an executive producer, creative writer, and so much more. And so I just wanted to put that plug into the listening audience. If anyone is listening with regard to all about Entrepreneur Show this morning, please look us up. Here we are at theworship.web.com, Breaking Suffering Silence of Abuse.web.com, and I assure you, this course will take you to another dimension. God has allowed me to be able to help to tap into your divine God-given gifts, abilities, skills, and talents, as he has done with so many. I'm so proud again to have a graduate class, a virtual class of 10, which can testify and have proven this course. Amen. So I just wanted to plug that in today. Again, David, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I will share when you officially launch Miracle Monday, because truly my miracle came on Sabbath Saturday, and I tell you, it has not stopped yet. So thank you for the compassion that the Lord has, you know, placed in your heart based on what you, as you, your testimony with you, as you're struggling with your mother and, you know, background in that respect. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, coaches, and thank you, listening audience. To God be all the glory for the great things he has done.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing. Yes, and we are wrapping it up with that, Coach Louisa. Got to get going with my day today. We thank you, everyone, for listening and tuning in, and we will be right back tomorrow. You make it a great day.
Yeah, David, did you have another? I think David had another point.
All right.
David, go right ahead.
Stepping outside, Theo. Thank you.
I think I cleared them all. You know, we were on the road.
All right.
And
great
show today.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, great show today. I appreciate it. Great speaker, Mr. Stephon, Minister Allen, Coach Lisa, Coach Cassandra. Happy Memorial Day, and we honor and salute all our veterans, everyone who have served.
And
God is great. God is great.
And we want to say, wish a happy Memorial Day to our other co-host who's not with us today, Fred. Wherever he is, enjoying his holiday with his new fiance, the holiday with the new fiance. So anyway, I love to make rhymes. So everyone, be blessed. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning, same time. Not the same place for me. I'll be on the road tomorrow. But it's all good. It's all good because it's all God. Oh, there's Coach Fred. Oh, my God, Coach Fred. I would not be, there you are. Oh, we had Coach Fred for 1 second. I think we lost him. Well, you know what? He was on. Okay. Well, I've been in and out of the studio, so I didn't get to see all the numbers, but he did drop, but we had him. But wait a minute. You know what? Oh, okay. Let's see how we're going to do this. Let's see, let's see. Facebook has this real interesting little scenario here. But not Facebook, but this is actually, well, what is this called? Blog Talk Radio? Yeah, Blog Talk Radio has, or they had, a cool little feature where you could actually call people up. But I don't see that feature. Where did it go? Well, anyway, maybe next time I'll figure it out. I was going to call Fred back up, Coach Fred, but I don't see now how to do that. It was something that you could do before. Search callers, no, I don't want to do that. Okay, well, maybe next time I'll figure it out. But they used to have a feature where you could actually call people up. And I thought, maybe not. Well, anyway, so until next time, everyone, Coach Fred, we are so sorry. I'm sorry I didn't see your number, but that we'll make up for it tomorrow on the show. We'll give him lots of minutes. All right, everyone, have a great and powerful and wonderful, wonderful day. Oh, my God, I'm knocking over phones and everything.